we're taking you behind the scenes with entrepreneurs that run product-based businesses. There is so much information out there tailored towards service providers, so we have carved out a space just for you. The Creative Entrepreneur, making and selling physical goods. Whether you are just starting out or a seasoned business owner, this podcast will shed light on new strategies, inspiration, and action steps to help you grow your product-based business.
Hey friends, I'm Katie Hunt and welcome back to Proof to Product. Today's guest is Alex Rossman, the founder of Rossman Media, an award-winning social media agency with offices in Portland, Los Angeles, and San Diego. Alex and the team at Rossman Media help e-commerce brands effectively communicate with their audience on social media. With 53% of the world's population on channels like Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube, Alex believes strongly that every company, no matter the industry or the niche, can find and grow their audience at scale on social media. On today's episode, Alex shares mistakes that smaller brands are making when it comes to digital marketing. We talk about how big brands are learning a lot from smaller e-commerce brands when it comes to social media content and strategies. And we do a deep dive into paid advertising, like a really deep dive. I ask Alex about creative strategies, budgeting for paid ads, how to know if your ads are working and what metrics you need to be tracking. And also we talk about how to know when or if it's time to outsource the ads creative process or the management of your ads. Alex offers strategies for both e-commerce brands that are new to paid ads as well as those that are already running ads. So this is a really rich resource here, and I hope that you guys will enjoy this episode. And also, for those that want more after you listen in today, Alex and I hit record on a separate interview all about influencer marketing that will be available exclusively in our Labs community. He shared strategies for finding influencers, typical deal structures, sample costs of working with influencers, which I know is a real like enigma for all of us, as well as how to make sure that you can repurpose or leverage that content that the influencer is creating for you in other aspects of your marketing. So to listen into that bonus interview, head to proofToProduct.com/labs to learn more about my 12-month group coaching program. I do a lot of these exclusive interviews that we'll be adding to the community as we go. These are based on questions and comments people in our community have had, and they've been asking for a long time about paid advertising and influencer marketing. So we're tackling both of those topics in today's episode and then this exclusive interview. All right, well, let's jump into this paid advertising episode with Alex Rossman of Rossman Media. Hey, Alex, welcome to Proof to Product.
Thanks for having me.
It's my pleasure. All right, let's kick this off with something that I am dying to hear from you. What mistakes do you see smaller brands, specifically e-commerce brands, making when it comes to their digital marketing?
Great question. I mean, we deal with this on a day-to-day basis. You know, the reality is things are always changing in the digital marketing space. So what we actually see is that e-commerce store owners are not staying up with trends, right? Seeing what is really going to benefit their business, right? And stay ahead of what is going on with digital marketing, specifically social media. Social media right now, you know, I always advocate for e-commerce store owners to really invest a lot of their time, money, and energy into a social media strategy. So I think, you know, one of the biggest mistakes is, you know, not jumping onto platforms like TikTok, where there's tremendous organic reach, right? I mean, every time you post, you're now expanding your brand's reach to a whole new level. I mean, where else can you go online where, you know, you post something and then you're able to reach thousands of people within minutes? I mean, it's really the Wild West. So I highly encourage, and again, I think the biggest mistakes that we're seeing is that e-commerce store owners aren't staying ahead of that curve, aren't looking into different avenues to get their brand out there.
I agree with you. I also think from their point of view, it can feel really overwhelming trying to keep up with the trends when, you know, many of the people listening to this show, they have small but mighty teams or they're running it themselves and they kind of grapple with like, where do I put that time and energy or even dollars if I'm going to invest in other people to help with that? So if, you know, if they only have an hour or two a week to dedicate to social media, what would you suggest that they do with that time?
Yeah, you know, I think the best thing to do is create content that shows your audience really, you know, what your product is about, and not just your product, but the actual process, right? I always talk about, you know, in other podcasts, is people still buy from people, right? And they want to know your process from start to finish, how you came up with the product, why you came up with the product, what need does that product serve? So spend time just creating content, right? Like, bring out your camera. Like, I mean, the reality is everybody thinks you have to have some, you know, big DSLR 4K camera. You can just use your iPhone, you know, or smartphone and accomplish the same thing. So I would say dedicate that time to content posting on platforms that are actually going to get you that reach, which again, I recommend TikTok and Instagram Reels by far right now.
Yeah.
And I think that's really the best way to, you know, delegate your time is with content.
I think that's also a little bit of a foreign concept to our audience because they spend so much time thinking of the products they want to make and the things, the creative outlet in that respect, but turning it into, oh, wait, this is something that other people do want to know about my brand, the behind the scenes, the why we created this, all of that is equally as important. You know, you've mentioned TikTok a couple of times. It has been blowing up for business owners. And we actually had one of our students come back and do a podcast with us about it. Her monthly sales increased by 40% using that platform.
Awesome.
I know, it was amazing. And she shared a lot of great tips. So we'll include that link to that episode in the show notes. But what are, you know, as someone that works with a lot of big brands, and I'll come back to this in a minute and share what some of those brands are, but speaking specifically about TikTok, what kind of content should they be creating there?
Yeah. Good point. And, you know, it's so great to hear that, you know, one of your students has seen that success because we're seeing the same thing. The content that does best is really going back to what I had just mentioned, where showing the process, right? You know, one of, you know, my dear friends who came through my wife, she created her own, you know, e-commerce store, and all of her success has been on TikTok. One of the biggest viral videos that she posted was showing her prototype that she made from a folder into an actual bag, right? So it went from start to finish, and, you know, she got millions of views within, you know, 24 hours. She has absolutely blown out of her product. So I still believe, you know, showing the process, showing really where it started. People do buy from people. So always keep that in your mind when you're creating content. People want to show you packing orders or your team packing orders. People want to see the development of new products. People want to showcase your team and the people behind the brand. So again, I think it's really important to, you know, focus on content that tells your story.
Mm-hmm. I love that. You know, you work with a lot of big brands. You've worked with Airbnb, Orange Theory, and more on their social media strategy. I always find it interesting to look at what some of these larger companies are doing that we can then extrapolate and like kind of recreate on our own, not stealing ideas or anything like that, but just, you know, what can we leverage? And so what's working on social media for those larger brands now that our audience might be able to leverage? And specifically on the conversion side of it, what's working to convert that audience into customers?
Yeah. Great question. Really good question. So, you know, what's so funny is I think the misconception is that these big brands have it all together and it's like, we should follow what they're doing. It's actually the reverse right now. They're looking at what are smaller content creators, small brands doing, and they're actually piggybacking off of that, because what we're finding is that some of these smaller e-commerce brands are getting it, right? They're selling out a product that in many cases, they're beating out some of these bigger brands. And again, that doesn't go to, you know, put the bigger brands down. They've got a lot of capital to make it happen, and they do it well. I would say, you know, some of the things you can kind of take, you know, from some of the bigger brands that I would say they do absolutely well. Now you have kind of, I put it into two different pillars. You have organic content and then you have paid content. I think what bigger brands do really well is paid media, right? Taking the content that's doing well organically and putting some money behind it, that will really drive incremental sales. And I'm sure people that follow you, Katie, you know, they have thought about or are currently implementing advertising on social media, but it's a great way to drive sales. It's a great way to get your brand out there and accelerate much faster. So I would just say, you know, leveraging paid ads through social media platforms is a really good way to do that, for sure.
I think a lot of smaller brands are intimidated by paid advertising.
Yeah.
I think especially with, you know, there's been recent iOS update changes that are impacting some of the paid advertising space, which I would love to hear your thoughts on that.
Yeah.
But I guess let's start there. What are your thoughts on the recent changes? And then I would love to kind of segue into what are some things that people could do to kind of dip their toe in paid ads, and then maybe what we can go from there.
Oh man, the iOS conversation could really unfold here. You know, it's a big topic of conversation, right? I mean, the reality is now there's restrictions around the data that is shared with these bigger social media platforms. And with that, basically, you're restricting the amount of people that you can reach. You're restricting audience behaviors and consumer behavior. So a lot of those things where I'm sure everybody was on an Amazon product or a product they saw on Facebook and that product just kept following them everywhere, those days are starting to diminish. Not to say that it's not happening, because it certainly still is and there's workarounds around it. But I think it's about identifying the platforms and finding manual workarounds. So here's kind of my thought process. Facebook is, if you're a new, you know, brand, or you're looking at just kind of dipping your toe into the paid media space, Facebook's going to take some time to really develop. TikTok, on the other hand, and other platforms are actually very competitive, right? They've created kind of workarounds with iOS where there's different placements, there's different ways that you can advertise. TikTok, for example, I'm sure a lot of your listeners are on Shopify. They created a direct integration with Shopify that's going to absolutely streamline the whole consumer experience. You can basically click a button on a video on TikTok and purchase within the app. That's the direction that they're going. So again, I think just identifying kind of goes back to the first conversation, is identifying these trends, different ways to position your brand. But I would say, you know, you've got to get started, right? I think there's always a hesitancy because it is very daunting, but you do have to just get started. And I can tell you, a brand that does do paid is certainly going to accelerate much faster than one that doesn't.
Absolutely. I agree with that. So if someone were new to the paid advertising, let's say they've got their organics, you know, marketing strategies kind of dialed in, they've got their emails going, their social media, you know, they're engaging with customers that way. What's kind of that first step or first three steps that they should take when getting into paid advertising?
Great question. So three pillars, again, I always like to just kind of break things down step by step. So first thing is content. Make sure you have video content, particularly, that's really dialed in. Social media platforms are all about visuals. The static images, graphics are kind of starting to fall to the wayside in terms of performance. So focus on bite-sized video content, you know, anywhere from 5 to 30 seconds is a great medium. And once you've got the content dialed in, then you really want to look at your audience, right? Just to kind of give you some real more technical advice, download your customer list. If you have an existing customer list, upload that into your ad platform to start, because what that's going to do is allow you to retarget to that audience. So if you're trying to get recurring customers, it's a great way to retarget that list. In addition, you can build out a lookalike audience off of that customer list. And so what platforms like Facebook will do is go out and find other people that fit that similar demographic and that similar buying behavior. So again, getting your audience really dialed in is really kind of, you know, the second piece. And then third is just tracking, right? Just making sure that you've got a really good idea of who's engaging with your content, what type of creative is doing well versus others. So just doing a lot of testing and tracking is kind of the first, you know, thing after you get launched. So I would say those three things: content, audience, and then tracking and testing. Those three are going to be really a great way to get started.
Those are great tips for everyone listening. Let's flip this a little bit to people that have already been doing ads. Maybe we're digging into that like tracking piece a little bit more. How often do you want people looking at their ad statistics and making changes? Is that something you want them being agile with, or do you want to let it simmer for a little bit and play out to see what kind of data points you get?
You've got great questions. I love this. Yeah. So you're speaking my language. So I think the biggest thing is you don't want to make changes too abruptly, right? You've got to let, you know, for example, Facebook goes through a learning phase, right? So, you know, you have to have a certain amount of purchases or conversions or certain objectives that are met before you should be making any changes, right? So Facebook will even tell you when you've kind of gotten to that next level. When you have, I do think it's very important to be a bit more micro with it and go into Facebook Ads Manager, go into TikTok Business Manager, and start making tweaks where you need to, right? I'm a believer that starting with a bunch of different ads to begin with, and then start pulling back the ones that are not doing well and reintroducing new creative and new ads are really going to be the best way to go. But again, I think you bring up a great point. If you're already running ads and you've got some, you know, go back in there that and really identify like which ones are doing well, which ones aren't. A few of the metrics to look at to identify if they are doing well, of course, is going to be ROAS, so return on ad spend. Second is going to be really, you know, how relevant is that ad to your audience? So it usually gives you from a 1 to 10 scale. If that is falling close to that 1 to 2, that's not good. If you have something closer to a 8 to 10, that means that you're hitting the right audience. They're clicking through and they're actually taking some sort of action. I would say the third, obviously, is you're looking at what is that cost per acquisition? So how much are you spending to actually acquire a customer? So those three things, I always, you know, really keep my finger on the pulse with our clients just to make sure that that's not falling too high or falling too, you know, off, you know, where it should be. And again, you'll know based off of your margins, you'll know kind of, you know, you should get a really good clear understanding of what that benchmark should be. And if it's not working, just continue to reintroduce and test.
So for ROAS and then the cost per acquisition, that's more knowing your own numbers and competing against yourself. There's no like industry averages that you should be aiming for. It's mostly knowing that you're improving your own data points. Is that right?
Yeah. And that's, yeah, exactly right. I mean, you should definitely know, you know, what you're comfortable with to acquire a customer, right? Because we have some clients that say, hey, you know what, we need to hit at least a 4x return on ad spend to get to that next level. Some are saying, hey, you know what, I'm okay with a 1 to 1, knowing that that purchase is going to have a much larger upside, right? Whether it's reoccurring revenue, whether it's upsells, whether it's getting them just into your email funnel. So again, you're exactly right. It's really competing with yourself, understanding what is that number? What is that benchmark that's really going to move the needle for you and allow you to scale?
That's great info. Also, I know a lot of people struggle with like, how much should I invest in ads on this paid advertising side? You know, and obviously everyone's budget is going to vary depending on how large their business is or how much money they want to dedicate to this. Do you have any rule of thumbs, like a percent of your monthly revenue or anything like that?
Yeah, good question. So, you know, I always, like for a benchmark, I say $100 a day is like just a great way to do two things, to get to where you need to quicker. So some people like, hey, let's start with just like 25 a day. That's just going to take too long to see if it works, right? Like, I think you've got to be willing to invest at least $100 a day to say, hey, I'm going to let this run for a few weeks. And if I'm seeing the type of results that I should be, I'm going to keep it going and keep pumping into it. But sometimes starting too small is almost just like, why did I do it anyway? We run into a lot of e-commerce store owners, which I'm sure you do as well, where it's like, I tried it and I gave up. I just pulled the plug after, you know, a few days. And that, you know, I advise you, if you are going to go into advertising, take the leap of faith and let it run. I am actually, you know, held responsible because I've done this before too. When I was just starting my company to generate leads, I, you know, started running ads. I think I let it run for like $300. I'm like, oh, it's not working, you know, and I pulled the plug. You know, we're at a position where it's constantly running and we know that that is a reliable revenue stream for us. And so I think once you get to that point, if you can let it run and let it resonate, you'll start to see that you can scale it and it will be a reliable revenue stream for you.
So if they're doing $100 a day, what kind of overarching budget would you say is like a healthy budget for somebody to truly test that $100 a day theory and get the data points they need to make educated decisions and see if it's truly working? How much time and how much of a runway there?
Yeah. You know, I think a month, so not too crazy. I think in a month, 30-day period, you'll be able to tell which ads are working. And honestly, sometimes much sooner. I mean, we have some new product launches where within the first few days of that $100 spend, they're really scaling and it can happen much quicker. And that's the beauty of paid ads. However, I always recommend, even if you don't see results in that first week, let it run for 30 days. And that'll put you right around about, you know, $3,000 for that first month. And it, you know, it will be worth it because at the end of the day, if that first month you lose a little bit, you're not going to lose a ton. Let's just put it that way. If you're doing everything right in terms of setting up the good creative, you got your audience set up, you should be in a good position to at least break even.
Yeah. Okay. This is fascinating. Also, one question of clarification. I really enjoyed how you said go wide with, start with lots of different ad creatives set up. Mm-hmm. Would you do 100 for each of those? Or are you talking $100 budget across that whole span and then pulling back things, but keeping the budget the same?
Yeah. So $100 for that, the entirety of a campaign. So all that creative. So basically what Facebook will do as an example, you can create what's called conversion-based optimization, right? Where all of these creatives kind of fall under one umbrella. And then what Facebook's going to do is it's going to allocate that budget to whatever campaign or ad, for example, is doing best. So what you'll find is Facebook does a lot of the machine learning for you so you don't have to. So the way you structure a campaign, again, is really important because it'll trickle that $100 out through all the creative and really identify what's working and what's not.
Okay. I did a call yesterday with my membership and one of the questions that came up was, okay, I just got my new e-commerce shop going this week and how do I get people to my site quickly? And they're particularly, we're recording this at the end of October, so they're particularly interested in holiday season and Q4 sales.
Oh yeah.
And my reservation with this question was, you know, there's three options, right? Quick, cheap, and good. And you have to kind of choose two. And so is it reasonable for someone to start ads in November and see the results of that in this Q4, November, December holiday sales season? Or is that unrealistic?
It is certainly a topic of conversation among our team right now when we're talking with prospective clients or even our existing clients. I always say, you know, in terms of our planning, and again, you know, we're looking at usually 3 to 6 months ahead of November. You know, in terms of our planning, we like to get a lot of data before then, before we really scale. I look at November and December as the opportunity to put fuel on the fire, not necessarily just get started, right?
Yeah.
Getting started is going to be one of those things like you mentioned. You're going to start it. You're going to probably have expectations that are probably too rich for what you're actually going to get out of it if you haven't run ads prior. So again, right now, certainly run ads, start running them, getting them going, but don't anticipate that you're going to blow it out of the water. Just know that that's going to be a nice little revenue stream for you potentially. But I advocate that you use the time 3 to 6 months prior to Q4 to really build up that data, continue to run ads, see what's working and what's not. So once November hits, you can just crank up that ad spend and you know that, hey, I can rely on this for big holiday season.
This is helpful. You know, I know a little bit about ads from the service-based side of the world because my business is, you know, an education service business. And I know that on that side, a lot of people will have that longer runway, of course, you know, the 6 months or so. And in those first early months, they're trying to warm up their audience. They're sending people to more like free opt-ins and things like that to grow their email list. Are you seeing e-commerce businesses using that same kind of strategy and tactic? Or are people, is their call to action from the ads strictly go purchase this from my store?
No, you hit it right on the head. Absolutely. Email is key. I mean, if you can build up that list, I mean, Katie, we have a rule of thumb for our clients that 30% of your monthly revenue should come from email, period.
Wow.
And that is a benchmark that is minimum. So if you're not hitting that, and if you're a product-based company listening, go to your Klaviyo account, go to your, you know, whatever email tool you have, and look at your metrics and say, hey, is 30% of my revenue coming from email? If it's not, I would allocate an entire effort to building up that list because that is something you can always rely on. despite iOS updates, despite anything that's external, that's out of your control, an email list you can always control.
Absolutely. You're speaking my language. And this is so serendipitous because yesterday I put out a reel that was about email marketing and how it had a bunch of statistics that I had pulled for a recent program I had done. And so many e-commerce businesses are afraid to email their lists. And, you know, they don't want to sound salesy. They don't want to come off as pushy. They don't want to bother people. And, but at the same time, these people are signing up for our email list because they want to hear from us. They want to purchase our products. And so I'm glad to hear you say that. Thank you.
And getting creative with the content is key too, right? Because I mean, if you are just doing salesy emails, it's not going to move the needle. And you're right. You probably will start to see quite a bit of unsubscribes. Like people want to hear from you, but to a point. But again, you know, we have clients 2 times a week minimum that are sending out content. So planning that editorial calendar to where you can say, hey, you know what, let's identify, you know, certain trends maybe that we can send over to our email list, like give them resourceful information versus, hey, here's another sale, right? Like use sales strategically, because again, you also don't want to cheapen your brand.
100%. And that's actually something I coach to my clients of like, make it easy for your customers to buy, but show the features, the benefits, the reasons why you're the one they need to purchase from. And thank you for echoing all of that. I love what you're saying here. And I think that paid advertising, at least for a big chunk of my world, my people that follow and listen, I think they're really intimidated by it. Do you think that they can do it themselves, or do you think it's better for them to hire help? And I know that hiring help comes with an ad budget and a management budget, but like, which do you think is better for them? And is there like maybe a revenue threshold where you think it makes more sense to hire it out versus do it yourself?
Yeah, absolutely. So I do think there is a revenue threshold. I really do. I mean, doing this now for, 7-8 years, I can tell you that revenue is key. I mean, if you're just getting started or you don't feel like you can really commit to outside help and that partnership for the long term, I would just try to do as much as you can yourself. I mean, Google is a great resource. You could really be scrappy when you need to. And I am an advocate for that. I mean, I can come here and try to sell you my services, but I do believe it's only right for certain businesses and at the stage of where they're at. You know, I think if you are able to commit, you know, a minimum of $10,000 a month to marketing in general, I just kind of lump everything together. I think it's worthwhile to have a conversation with an outside vendor or hiring internally. I do think it's important. Again, you know, one thing to look at is you also won't get to that next level without that support, because as a business owner, there's only so much time in a day, and you should be putting that type of work into people that have that expertise, honestly, because, you know, one key hire or one agency away from potentially scaling to a whole new level. So just also keep that in mind. But I think, you know, Katie, I think $10,000 a month, if you're kind of dedicated to saying, hey, this is what we can put into it, it's worthwhile to have some additional support.
I'm very much an advocate for hiring experts in key areas that will lead to additional revenue and return on our investment. And this is an area that I think there's just such a huge learning curve around paid advertising. And so if one were to want to do it themselves, and because it shifts so much, right? Like there's lots of nuances to it. Yeah. I do think it's worth exploring either hiring it out or taking a program or a course or something to help you kind of acclimate if you are going to try to DIY it.
Absolutely. And you're a great resource too, from, you know, what I can tell. I mean, it's people like yourself and other resources that are available to, you know, e-commerce store owners, where, you know, I think it's absolutely the right decision just to have somebody to lean on, you know, to make sure that the decisions you're making are the right ones, or even just to get some additional feedback, right? Because again, you know, I've learned this, I think you probably have, anybody listening, you go through, you know, this phase of like, okay, I can do everything myself, but to a point, right? And then at some point you hit kind of this ceiling where you're saying, you know what, I want to get to that next level. I want to scale, but you do have to make the leap of faith to invest in the resources to get your business to that next level. So yeah, I think you're exactly right. There's certain things you can do, you know, by yourself, but then you're going to certainly need that support.
Yeah. And I feel like the path I see is the people being scrappy, trying to do it on their own, testing, learning how difficult that can be in terms of how much time and energy they're putting into it. Then they maybe like invest in a course or some sort of self-study program where they again learn a lot and they're able to grow again, but they do hit that ceiling. And because they're not immersed in this example, paid advertising, they're only able to take themselves so far. And then that's where they move into hiring somebody. I would love for you to share, you know, how can people work with you and what types of services do you guys offer since we are talking about this now?
For sure. And to your point, you know, it can also be discouraging, right? If you are the business owner, you're worrying about inventory, you're worried about marketing, creating content, all the things that we're talking about now, and then it doesn't work, you're just kind of like, oh man, I mean, where do I go next, right? And so I do think it's important to rely on a team that you can trust. I think that's a big thing. Just to, you know, for your listeners, I mean, we work with, you know, we're selective with who we work with because we want to make sure that both sides are committed to the process, right? I think that's a big thing that is often not talked about is that the people that you hire have to be equally committed to, you know, the direction that you want to take the business, right? And so getting very clear with a partner that you hire is very important, and it's very important to us. So, you know, typically how we work is we come in, we work with pretty much at this point only e-commerce store owners. So we know the space very, very well. And we look at your business from not just like, where are you going to be the next 30 days? We're going to look at it for the next 90, you know, 180 days, a full year, and really break down what are your goals? How are we going to get there? And then create an actionable roadmap that we can say, okay, by this time we should be here, right? By this time we should be here. And I would say probably 90% of the time, if not more, we hit those cadences because we know exactly what needs to be done to get there. But again, you know, it's, you've got to be at that position in your company to be able to, you know, feel comfortable doing that, right?
Yeah.
But that's, yeah, that we become long-term partners for our clients. I mean, I can tell you, we have probably 70% of our clients that have been with us since we opened our doors years ago. So we are all about long-term partnerships. We want to, you know, our success is our client's success, 100%. So that's a little bit about us.
I love that, Alex. I was over here smiling as I was listening to you because we were just talking in our labs program about when you know what you're working towards, when you know what those goals are, when you know what that number is you're trying to hit, it's much easier to make the plan and then work the plan. Totally. When you're working towards some arbitrary goal of, I want to double my revenue, or I want to hit $1 million, or I want to whatever, like it, and a million is concrete, but it's also not necessarily within the reasonable realm for some people at the beginning stages. So.
Yeah. And you, I mean, we even help, you know, clients build out their financial model, you know, where we're like, okay, let's really, you know, we're not accountants, but we certainly know, you know, what to look for, right? I mean, if we're hitting a specific return on ad spend, if we're leveraging influencers and we can track the ROI there, I mean, all of these things we look at as actionable items that we can say almost concretely that, hey, this is going to happen if we follow this roadmap. And so we are always, you know, looking at talking with e-commerce store owners. So again, we offer 30-minute consultations with myself included and our VP Elise, where we can actually just really break down over 30 minutes, what's working, what's not, and then really create an actionable plan. Complimentary for free. Also, in addition to that, we'll build out an audit if you'd like us to. So if you're saying, hey, I want to see, am I doing ads right? Am I doing, you know, social media right? You give us access and we'll put that together for free as well for you. I mean, we just delivered yesterday, you know, a 25-page audit to another prospective client, which now, whether they work with us, great. If not, they at least have something that they can turn back to their marketing team and start implementing right away.
That's incredible, Alex. That's the kind of customer service that I like. I mean, that's above and beyond. That's amazing.
Hey, thank we you just want to help. That. It's a tough world out there. I mean, it's getting more and more competitive. So if, you know, again, we just want to, we want to help out any way we can. And like I said, there's no strings attached, just here to help.
Awesome. Well, where can people find you online if they want to check out your services and maybe send you an email about inquiring? Well, actually, let's not send them to email. Let's send them to your website and maybe your social feed.
No worries. Yeah. So rossmanmedia.com is our website. You can visit also our social media channels at Rossman Media. We do a lot of little tidbits and resourceful information, just putting out video content that might be helpful to you. So whether we work together or not, definitely follow there and you'll get some good resourceful information.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Alex. This was a delight and so informative. Likewise. We really appreciate your time.
Hey, it's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
All right, friends, a couple of things stood out to me from this episode. Alex said, people buy from people. And oh, that is so true. This is truly what all of our marketing should focus on, building connections with our customers, creating that relationship, whether it's a wholesale customer or a direct-to-consumer customer. People buy from people. Also, the statistic that he shared that 30% of our revenue should come from email, that really struck a chord with me because you all know that I strongly believe in email marketing, and I want to kind of dispel some of those fears that many of you have around sending emails to your email list. So hopefully that resonated with you too. Two quick things before I go. Labs members, don't forget to listen into the bonus episode that I recorded with Alex all about influencer marketing. We covered how to find influencers, what you can expect to pay for influencer content, typical deal structures, and Alex lays out a simple but effective strategy for reusing, repurposing influencer content in other parts of your marketing plan. So that's available to you now in our community, and it's really worth the listen. So I hope you guys enjoy that. And if you're not in our Labs community, I encourage you to join our waitlist. Labs is my 12-month group coaching program built specifically for product-based business owners that want to streamline their business operations. You'll not only get access to Alex's bonus interview, but also our rich archive of trainings, live coaching calls with me each month, and our diverse and supportive community of members that are also making products too. So we'll open the doors to that again soon. So hop on that wait list for first access. Thank you so much for joining me today. I'll be back next week with a new episode.